xmuscle.com presents. Do you like sex? Do you like muscle? Of course you do. This is Sex and Muscle Radio with your host, Nick DiRuzio and Dave Paloma.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of Sex and Muscle Radio. I am your host, as always, Nick DiRuzio, and with me is Dave Palumbo.
What's up, Nick?
Just hanging in there. And you, buddy?
Well, your life sounded a little more exciting the last couple days, because when I called you yesterday, it sounded like you might have been getting some action over there.
A little bit. I did my first booty call last night, my first booty call in what would probably be about 9 months to a year.
Really?
And when you called to clarify or go over our show for today, because that's what you like to do, you like to clarify, it's your shtick.
I'm a clarifier.
Exactly. We had just finished and she was getting dressed, and I'm like trying to watch her get dressed and not usher her out the door just quite so quickly, act as if I wanted her to stay for just a few more minutes, but she was lickety-split the moment I got off the phone with you. I was like, sweetheart, just let me get dressed and I'll walk to your car. And she's like, no, I'm good.
Wow.
Okay.
Who was the chick?
No one you'd know, just some girl. She's not in the business or anything like that. But it reminded me why I don't like booty calls when this girl came over. Her and I kind of had talked earlier that day, and we'd set up a tentative meeting time for 5 p.m. So I'm good to go. Sundays, I usually run all my errands and hang out with the family a little bit, just do kind of miscellaneous crap. And I interrupted my miscellaneous crap so I could rush home and be there at 5 o'clock, because I didn't want her to show up to my house and me not be there.
You are very punctual, I must admit.
Thank you. So I'm there at 5 o'clock, and I'm waiting. And, you know, looking at the clock, looking at my watch, I'm like, when's she going to be here? When's she going to be here? 15 minutes rolls by, 30 minutes rolls by. I give her a quick little text message, don't hear from her. 45 minutes roll by. An hour goes by. Finally, instead of the text, I pick up the phone. Where are you? Oh, I'd fallen asleep. Let me get dressed and, like, head on over.
She was really, she was really into this whole booty call.
Apparently. She's chomping at the bit. So then I wait some more. I'm like, okay, another 15 minutes, another 20, another 30, another text message. Because, again, I've rearranged my fucking day.
Right.
And then, so we're now about an hour 45, 2 hours late, and I call her, and I'm like, where are you? Oh, I just got out the shower. I'm going to leave in a minute. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
At least she was cleaning herself up down there, so that's good.
Well, I appreciate that, but this like spits in the face of why I hate booty calls. Because when you do a booty call, you're hoping for some really grand experience, and it was really good. But think about all the time you can save just by jacking off.
Well, you know what the answer to your dilemma is? Never have them come to your place. You go to their place. This way, if you want to come there late, it's up to you. If you want to get there on time, you're not waiting for them.
No, see, I'm jaded in that respect. I used to, I've had a roommate for a great many years, and I just bought a brand new home this year. So I'm kind of very excited to have my, independence and, my own roof.
I guess maybe
it's because of the amount of sex I get, but I'm not leaving my house for pussy.
Gotcha.
Not happening.
Well, you gotta wait.
Well, apparently, it's not as easy as you think to get a really hot girl. For instance, I think it was Friday night, and a girlfriend of mine was out at a club, and she text messaged me, and she's like, come over and fuck me. I'm like, no, I'm good, but if you want to drive over here and fuck me, that's doable. And we text messaged back and forth for about a half hour, and ultimately she's like, I'm not coming over to your house. I'm like, well, I'm not going over to yours. It looks like we're going to bed.
Wow.
Unhappy.
Well, I never wondered why a porn star would need a booty call, but
work sex isn't sex you'd have at home. I mean, you don't get to pick who your partner is. You don't get to pick what type of sex you're having. Is it rough? Is it sensual?
Mm.
I mean, that kind of whole skews it. But again, back into the face of the booty call, and here's kind of my whole shtick about even your suggestion about going to them for the booty call sex. Say you were single, Dave.
Okay.
And you were going to do a booty call.
Right.
You call up your young lady. You guys set it up. It's the first time you've ever been with this girl, so you got to put on a good impression. You take your time. You get dressed. You shower up. You kind of get everything straight. And metrosexual that you are, you put some gel in your hair, everything like that. So that takes you an hour. Shower, clean up, shave, whatever. So you got an hour in the books already. If you lived in L.A., L.A. is a big place. It could take you upwards of an hour to get anywhere in L.A. And God forbid you're in traffic. So let's say it takes you an hour to get to where you need to go. That's 2 hours right there. So then you get to her house. Now, in most cases, she's not a complete whore, and you have to do, like, that feigning, let's have a chat. Even though we both know why I'm here, let's talk a little while, let's flirt, let's do this presumptuous dance that we do. So they say that takes a half hour to an hour, so we'll call it another hour. You're now 3 hours in. You finally start having sex. Now, because it's your first time with this girl, you gotta put in some quality time. You gotta show a trick or two. Say, you know, you want to show you have stamina. Let's just give it 30 minutes to an hour of foreplay and sex. 4 hours in. You can't just rush out the door. That'd be rude. Again, got to put in that kind of feigning. Oh, yeah, that was great. We should hang out again sometime.
I got a headache already just listening to the whole procedure. Okay. You know what the problem is? That you get too much pussy already, and you can't admit that. If you didn't get pussy all the time, you wouldn't care about putting the fucking 5 hours in.
Exactly. You have 5 hours. Now, if you just jacked off, you could have been done in 15 minutes.
Yeah, but
and I guarantee you, if you jack off, you probably had a really good time. And with the booty call, especially a new one that we were just talking about, you don't even know if it's going to be good. What if it sucks? You wasted 5 hours for crap pussy.
Well, you have a lot to compare it to. Most guys don't have that luxury of comparing it to anything. So for them, most sex booty calls, whatever you want to call it, are much, much appreciated. Now, Nick, I have a special guest here in the studio with me. He's going to be joining us. He may become a regular on the show. I got to see how he works out if I can get him over here all the time. But his name is Murray Long, and he's also known as by his moniker, the Unknown Schmo. Now, Murray has fielded the guest that we have on tonight for our show. So I think let's get him on here a little bit, and maybe he can give us a little brief rundown of what we're to expect a little later tonight. Okay.
All right.
Murray, welcome to Sex and Muscle Radio.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Nick.
Hello, Murray. Nice to meet you.
In our never-ending quest to bring the RX Muscle listeners the best in sex and muscle, I've gone out and procured what I believe to be the most sensual muscle goddess in the world. She is known as Muscle Goddess Extraordinaire on her website, goddessoffetish.com. Now, the good part about this is it has replaced her previous website, buffmuff.com.
All right, Murray, let me stop you right here before we go on anymore. Nick, based on those small facts, can you figure out who we're going to be expecting later tonight?
Well, you're a clarifier, Dave, so I kind of know. But based on his description, I wouldn't have guessed just on his description. Because he kind of put that girl up on a pretty high pedestal. The most sensual goddess ever, I think, was his words.
Well, I'm not sure. I have some experience in the area, but at 5'10" and 205 pounds ripped, with eyes that roll back into the back parts of her head as soon as she thinks about sex, we think that Amber DeLuca, also known in the industry as Amber Steele, is exactly that woman that you're looking for.
I figured it out. What? It's Amber DeLuca.
Murray, yeah? Gave it up.
See, I'm quick. No, I'm quick like that, Dave. I'm on my toes.
I hear she's got a lot of veins, though, and I know you like veins, Nick.
Well, I don't want to, like, intrude on Murray's time. I had never met Amber DeLuca, but I actually saw her maybe about a month ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was in Vegas on a little vacation, so I had procured a room at the Encore. I invited my mother along with me because I'm a good son. So Mom and I just checked in. We're walking to the room, and there's as our friend Murray described, 5'10", 200-pound girl walking toward me. And there's not many of them around. So I immediately go through my little schmo Rolodex, not as extensive as Murray's, I'm sure. And I'm like, that's Amber DeLuca, isn't it? And Amber and I have chatted online because, you know, I gotta do my research.
Right.
And we've exchanged pictures and whatnot. So we're kind of eyeing each other, but really don't say anything. I'm with my mom, fucking Christ's sake. But the moment we pass each other, I get up to the room, I grab my phone, I have her number in my phone. I'm like, where are you right now?
I'm sure you do.
And I'm like, just where are you? She's like, I thought that was you. I'm in the Encore. I'm like, no shit. What are you doing? Oh, I'm leaving. Fuck me. So.
Did you fuck her?
No, she was leaving. I was like, you should stay, have a drink, you know, whatever. I mean, she was wearing a dress. Very light, airy dress. Sleeveless. Her hair was pulled back.
Right, well, you know what? Save it. Save it for when she comes on, so we can describe.
Yeah,
Murray,
yeah.
give us some factoids on Amber. What should we expect, and what do you think we should ask her?
Well, a little background. Amber is a full-blooded Native American. Lives in New Mexico at this point in time. In college, she was a varsity volleyball player and made the switch into bodybuilding, competing as late as 2006 in the National Masters. And the interesting things are is that Amber is equally as desired by men and women. And I think it's some kind of pheromones that she gives off. Nick would know that kind of stuff better than I would. But
Nick and I are all into smells, right?
Amber is has done numerous bouts with all of the people who we will have or eventually have had on the show of female porn. Her new thing now with Goddess of Fetish is into what she calls kinky fetish porn.
Which is what?
I couldn't even begin to describe it and would probably ask you guys to go over that with her, and I think she'd be glad to elaborate on what kinky fetish porn means. She's traveled around the world, 20 to 30 different countries at least that I know of, and
all right, Murray, this is, you're boring me. Murray, get to the bottom line. What have you done with Amber DeLuca?
Well, I don't know, but I know to get in the door it requires Major Benjamins and some champagne. She also likes cracked crab and lobster, and beyond that, Murray doesn't talk, because if Murray talks, he don't get
it.
But
Murray's unknown. Murray's the unknown schmuck.
That's exactly right. And
how much does it cost you to get in the door, Murray?
My discounted rate or the normal $600? The normal $600 an hour.
It's $600 an hour, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well,
I'm curious. Murray's like extremely thorough. Do you go in with pen and paper or tape recording device? And
well, I have a eidetic memory. Also, it works. You guys are into smell. I'm more into touch. So I have a yeah, full photographic a recollection of anything that I put my fingers or my lips upon.
Yeah, Dave and I just can't relate us and our smells.
That's right.
Well, I wish, Dave. You know, maybe one day we'll be into that whole touching thing.
That's right.
Well, I look forward in the future to opening up my Rolodex for you again and bringing you all the best that there is.
Thank you, Murray. We're looking forward to the Amber DeLuca interview, definitely.
Thank you, Murray.
All right.
That guy is detailed, man. I thought I had kind of convinced myself over these past couple of shows that, holy shit, I am a schmo. But after speaking with Murray, I'm kicking myself out of the schmo category. I can't compete with that.
Right, but you refuse to pay for it. That's the problem, Nick.
That is a bit of a problem, and I think it is a bit of a hang-up with Amber and I, like, kind of maybe hanging out at one point, because we talked about it, and
right,
he was in L.A., and, you know, I was like, hey, let's get together. Well, what did you mean, get together? And the moment she says that, you're just like, whoa, hold on a second.
Hold that thought, Nick. I got Amber DeLuca on the line. Hey, Amber, you're on the air.
Oh, great.
Hello, Amber.
You're on the line with Nick and Dave.
I hear a voice in the background.
Yeah, it's Nick DeRuzio.
Oh, okay, great.
You can call me TJ, Amber. Would that help ring a bell?
yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, Amber, you know what?
I know, TJ.
You called in perfect, because we're just about to talk about the time that you and Nick, a.k.a. TJ, ran into each other at a hotel in Las Vegas just recently.
We did in passing, and I thought that was him, and I've only seen him in photos, and I've never gotten to meet him personally, so, yes.
I tried to get you to turn around and maybe not leave the hotel quite so quickly, but you were in a rush. You had to get somewhere to get away from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm always in a rush to get to the airport. You know how that goes.
Have you ever seen any porn movies with TJ in it?
I have not.
Hmm.
What the? They're out there? Why? This is, I mean, you would think after our conversations that would have been kind of like something to put on the
to-do. Well, you know,
list.
I'm not a really big, I have to be honest, I'm not a really big viewer of porn. Like you, TJ, I heard your interview yesterday with Melissa, and you said, okay, you watch the scene and it's done, and you don't watch it anymore. So I'm kind of, you know, when you're kind of in this industry, you tend not to spend your free time doing other activities like watching porn.
So you consider yourself in the industry?
When you say in the industry, I'm assuming you mean in the adult industry. Is that what you're implying? Yes, I am.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of girls in your situation, the female bodybuilders who kind of do nudity and maybe even a little girl, I don't think they consider themselves in the industry.
You guys are talking over each other. Guys, shh. You're talking over each other. We can't hear. Start again.
Because a lot of women in our industry that are in you know, do girl erotica, consider themselves outside of the adult industry, which clearly they are not. I mean, if you have an adult website, you are in the adult industry.
Speaking
do you
of-
think they don't consider themselves in the adult industry because they look down on those of us
I
that are in the adult industry?
We are really not considered part of the mainstream adult industry, but certainly there's sub niches or micro niches of the adult industry, as you very well know. So muscle fetish, or whatever you want to call what women in bodybuilding perform or do on their websites, it still is under the realm of the adult industry. So I think it's just by virtue of the fact that they maybe perhaps just don't consider themselves part of the mainstream.
Now, Amber, I just want to clarify something, Nick, because I find it kind of fascinating that, Amber didn't really, a lot of girls do this because they're trying to make money, you know, and obviously Amber, there's a money component to this.
Of course.
But Amber had a very, I think you still do, right? You still work for the Indian reservation?
Well, actually, no. Dave, I resigned my position in 2006, September of 2006, to do this full time because, you know, I was moonlighting doing this, and I felt like I was Wonder Woman on the weekends or something when I travel or, you know, go about my business and do the bodybuilding shows and, you know, and the wrestling sessions and that kind of thing. And I just really came to grips with reality of what direction do I really want to move in my career path. And that's really how I evolved in this career, if you will. And
well, you're a full-blown American Indian, and you were working for the Indian Affairs, right?
Yes, I did.
And what did she do?
Well, I worked full-time for the government for nearly 15 years, and I worked in human resources. I got my undergrad in communications English in Pennsylvania, and then I went on and got my master's degree in human resources, and then I even, for a while, thought I wanted to pursue my, you know, EDD in educational leadership, which I pretty much completed with the exception of the dissertation. So that was at that juncture in 2003 when I completed the coursework. I was getting involved in the bodybuilding industry and, you know, the wrestling sessions and that kind of thing. And I reached a point where I thought, well, this sounds like a, you know, far more lucrative and fun career than a regular 9-to-5 and working for the government. So I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. And so here I am.
I wonder if there's a way you could have worked that out to do both in the respect that kind of being a Native American, they kind of get all these little, how do you call them? Well, you know, like they have their casinos. I wonder if they would extend, like the government would extend that to like strip clubs. So like Native Americans could have like these tax-free strip clubs walking around. You know, I don't know. Maybe you could have approached that.
Hey, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll...
Maybe Amber could apply for a tax exemption.
Never know.
You know.
Yeah, you're oppressing our people. Let us show our tits.
To make up for the years of injustice, right?
Yeah,
seriously. At least they'd be giving back. See, normally a lot of people outside of the Native American community kind of, I don't know, maybe don't necessarily think that's fair. I know my dad kind of spouts at his mouth about that, and I'm not trying to get in all political debate.
Right.
But at least that way, if you had like a strip club, you'd be giving something back to the taxpayers. It's like, hey, look, we're not just asking for tax-exempt status. We're providing a service. You get to see my
kids. You never know. It could be a new business model.
That's true. Now, Amber, I think the thing that all our listeners are really wondering about, we've kind of been beating about the bush, is if I give you $600 for an hour, what am I going to get?
Well, I don't talk about money or services or things like that ever anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of one of my rules. And,
right.
And what you get, I mean, you know, or whatever that might mean, that's kind of a taboo subject.
I mean, let
me rephrase that for
and you.
You
know what? Every girl's different, to be honest, in this industry. You know, it's very wide gamut of, things that girls may do. So, I mean, every girl's different, so I can't, I can't say, you know, one way or another what, you know, what that
means. We don't want to, we don't, so if I were to, let's just say, in a roundabout way, Amber, ask you out, and I were to show up with a certain number of roses, which I'm sure you'd very much appreciate, what would one do on a normal date with you? Is that better?
I don't really necessarily know what a normal, what you're defining as a normal date. I mean, I'm just pretty much, I would say a normal human being, just like everybody else, and of course, I'd appreciate the roses and wining and dining and that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, she didn't get it.
No, I just think, just like most women, a woman of my stature and, you know, that kind of thing would probably just enjoy, you know.
Amber, if you went on a date with Nick DeRuzio, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because Nick really likes very large, vascular female bodybuilders.
Uh-huh.
Would you strap on a black dildo and do him in the ass?
Because
he really likes that.
The listeners here are going to get to begin to start thinking, I enjoy this act. I'm very opposed to this.
Would you do it?
If I'm in the mood, I might do it.
Nick, you're in the mood.
If he needs a good strap on, yeah, I think I could do that.
You could accommodate him?
If he's misbehaving.
But I did kind of get the impression when speaking to Amber that you are a bit of a size queen, aren't you?
Is that when we've been on webcam, or were we talking, or where?
I'm sure it was at some point when I was attempting to hang out with you, but all my attempts are getting rebuffed.
Hold on, Nick, you actually paid for Amber's webcam?
I don't think I ever paid. I very rarely have ever paid to see someone on. Did I pay Amber?
Yes, he's a lurker sometimes, but I had to call him out on that.
A lurker?
I like large objects. I like big men. I have to admit it.
Okay, well, let's define big, okay? Because big is relative, especially in your case, being 200 pounds. What's big?
You said you're 200 pounds?
No, you're 200 pounds, so I'm saying big is relative.
What? Yeah.
When you say you like a big man, what do you mean? Like, in terms of stature,
like,
and the genital department?
Men come in all shapes and sizes, as do women, but, I mean, based on my athletic background, I prefer, you know, pretty athletic, you know, well-built man. But that's not everything, of course. I mean,
is there
it's
a
nice when it comes in that package, of course.
Well, what about Nick? Would Nick be someone that you'd find desirable? Is he too small?
I'm not really sure. I think he's a little on the small side. I recall he's a little short. I don't know. I don't judge people just based on their stature or physique, but
small my ass. I outweigh Amber.
I don't know. Not by much, though.
Not by much. Apparently, she hasn't seen the video. But going back to what I was trying to get at earlier, Amber, when I said you were a size queen and you said you do like big men, I was speaking about a man and his dick. So you do like a big dick. I am assuming that's what you meant. And if you do like a big dick, what is big for you?
Well, I think big is like around 8 or 9 inches, you know. I think that's pretty good size. You know?
So that's like the cutoff?
Not a cutoff. It's just a marker.
Preference. It's a preference.
Yeah, preference. That's a good word.
You're out of luck, buddy.
yeah, actually, if that's the cutoff, I am out of luck at around 7. But it's an interesting thing, us and our preferences, you know, especially with girls. I kind of wonder what goes through a girl's head when a guy, you know, you're kind of getting in that moment, and a guy takes down his pants, and he's just not up to your standard. And you want to be a bitch and be like, I'm sorry, that's just not going to work for me. Can you just give me oral and we call it a night? Because you can just kind of tell. I've seen the look of disappointment for myself and for others. I mean, what do you do if a man drops trow or gets naked and he just wasn't what you expected? Maybe his physique wasn't what you expected. His dick is disappointing. What do you go through with the act that you were going to do, or do you send him on his way?
Well, I don't think I would get myself into that kind of position because I do a
pre-screening.
How shall I say? Screening. See, I always screen for what I want.
Before you see a guy, before he gets naked, you've already asked him exactly how big are you.
Position where I have to make an awkward call or anything like that. I always know what I'm. I always try to prepare for what I'm getting myself into. So I don't think that would really be.
Wouldn't be a problem for her.
Concern myself.
Well, you know, guys often exaggerate. I mean, I'm not going to say I've never said, so how big are you? And we all know I'm 7, but not to say I've never said, what, mate?
Well, I think you know.
Come on, would you have the balls and kick him out the bed, or would you take one for the team?
An inch. If you lie one way or another, Nick, isn't really going to matter, and you know, I don't think that's really that important.
Let me ask you a question about your website, Amber, because I understand that you do make a very sizable income from it. What pretty much goes
well,
on?
That's all relative too.
Well,
right?
You know, compared to most female bodybuilders, and
let's just say I can survive with it. Let's put it that way.
Put it this way: you probably make more money than 99% of all bodybuilders, male or female, out there. Okay.
Well, you would know. I don't know. That could
I don't
be
know. Bad, I don't know what your stats are, but I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you have on there? Like that would interest people to go on there and actually, you know, pay money.
The concept of Goddess of Fetish is it's everything muscle, everything Amazon, everything goddess. That's really the concept of the website. Mm-hmm. And it really, I really think it's beyond muscle fetish. It transcends the objectification of a body part, you know, like in bodybuilding. And I think it's more comprehensive, and really it's more where fantasy meets reality, and that's where I want to make this whole website different from everything that I've ever done in the past. I've had websites in the past that have just been, you know, just regular websites with, you know, the bodybuilding stuff and the girl erotica, which I've done quite a bit in the past. But really what sets this website apart is that it's more into the realm of fantasy and fetish, and it's broad in scope. It's much broader than just purely muscle fetish, and that's pretty much how I evolved into this whole goddess of fetish.
But give us an example, what would be enticing to buddy? Why do you think someone would come to your site?
I mean, a typical scene for me would be something like I've done a lot of wrestling fetish videos for the past several years, so kind of took that concept with the wrestling, arm wrestling, you know, whatever muscle worship, whatever there's a muscle tone underlying it. I guess what I would describe wrestling as kind of a sub fetish or a niche of the whole, maybe the overarching BDSM type thing. So it's really kind of like a micro niche. Mm-hmm. If you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So you know, it's really kind of what's really enticing is the fact that you've got muscle fetish people coming to the site, but you also got people coming from mainstream BDSM. And when we started this conversation, this interview, we talked about how girls in the bodybuilding industry do not consider themselves part of the adult industry. Well, I kind of want to take that and just develop that further and say, no, this is all part of in the realm of the adult entertainment industry, and it offers something for everybody, really. That's the whole concept of Goddess of Fetish. It offers a myriad of different types of scenes, erotica, et cetera.
What do you think these guys like about it? What turns most of these guys who go to your site on, or women for that matter?
Well, I looked at my data, and most of the clients on the site are men. I haven't had too many women. I'd like to try to change that in some way, but that's going to take some exploration. Most women don't buy erotica, but anyway, I think what people really like is the uniqueness of my physique, my character, my persona development. Really, it's more about developing the fantasy and turning the fantasy into reality. And I recruit my victims on my website. I have a modeling page where they can sign up, submit their photos, and then I take a look at them and say, okay, well, maybe this is somebody I'd want to work with and do some scenes with.
So you
and
you they, dominate
they also
these...
pitch their fantasy as well, Dave. That's mm-hmm. even what makes it more unique is oftentimes they'll say, will you do a lift and carry scene, arm wrestling, but they'll script out a whole scene.
Oh, I see. Okay, so these people
really
want to be dominated.
What makes this website and Goddess of Fetish unique is the fact that they are actually a part of the business model, which is kind of you know, kind of unique. I don't really see anybody else really presenting themselves in this way.
So if Nick came up to you and said, I have this fantasy of you picking me up over your head, body slamming me, and then sitting on my face, theoretically, if you liked the idea, you would film it and put it on your website.
Right.
Right. If I were to do that, Amber, do you do boy girl on your website? I would actually interview
and that kind of thing. I'm very careful about who I would work with and that kind of thing, making sure they're okay with, you know, different scenarios and that kind of thing. But absolutely, that is you hit it right on the head, Dave. That's kind of what I'm really pursuing is where fantasy meets reality, and it's the Amber Steele universe. Anything's possible. And that's the fun part about it. There's never a dull moment. A lot of times when I look at other websites, and I've studied a lot of adult websites in this industry, is the fact that you look at this, and they're kind of stuck in their own genre, their own niche of porn, if you will. So they are really just stuck. I'm like, how often can you watch? I mean, Girl Erotica is great. I love it. I've worked with some of the best girls in the industry, but how much of that can you really take after a while? That you'd want to see something different. Do you know what I mean?
Nick?
Well, I mean, in answer to your question, there's a reason why there's like every production company or every director has their formula of how things are done. You show up on set, and for an individual or a company, and you know exactly how your day is going to go. And the reason why it's so scripted, it's so cookie cutter, is because that formula has worked for them in the past. So them going outside that realm of thinking, it may make them some more money in the future, could also hurt their income. So they know
right.
if they just do what they know.
Well, there are formulas
money.
To success in business, and you're right, Nick. Those companies, and you know very well, you work for many of them, that there is a formula for success, and they are very conservative about going outside that box. And I remember you asking Melissa that question yesterday about, her getting into, the mainstream porn industry, and if there is a place for women, in that industry. And I would say no. I would say absolutely not. I mean, it's a fantasy that, it's our idea in the bodybuilding. Hey, that'd be great if so-and-so would get into mainstream porn. Well, as well as I do that, what mainstream porn girls look like. They're 5 foot whatever, and they're 115, 120 pounds. And, if they even have a little bit of a tricep, on them, they're not going to get a lot of work, right? I mean, that better than anybody.
Well, I kind of compare it to there's a group of girls in our industry we call the big boob girls. When I say mm-hmm. big boob, I don't mean D, I don't mean double D, I don't mean E. I mean the girls, if you wanted to Google her online, think of Kayla Cleavage, think of Minka, think of
huge
Chelsea Charms. Girls with boobs as big as like three or four human heads each.
Right.
I mean, they're enormous. Now, they've got work. There's a place for them in our industry, and they'll work, and they'll have some success. But at the end of the day, they're a small little niche. So if they think they can go out there like that 5'4", 120 on a good day, 120-pound girl, and work with that regularity of that girl, they're just sorely mistaken. The same thing would happen if Amber went into a normal agency and said, I want to do porn. Great, sweetheart. We can get you two or three jobs. Fantastic.
Right. And
on your website, are you going to do boy-girl hardcore porn?
World, the beauty is there are so many companies that you and I have never even heard about. There's billions of dollars of money being made in adult entertainment online, and a lot of them are in the niche categories.
I think what Nick is wondering, Amber, because I think for some reason you guys keep talking over each other, is that he wants to know if you're going to be doing boy-girl type porn on your personal site.
Well, that's a great question, Dave, because I've grappled with that over the past several years, not because I'm morally opposed to it, absolutely not. I mean, that's not the issue at all. I mean, because Amber steals the persona that I've developed over the years, and it's kind of, this Amazonian muscle goddess, and I'm always in the position of authority or in the position of control. And when you see regular hardcore boy girl sex scenes, the woman's usually on the bottom. So being a top over the years, that really it just depends on how I pitch it, how I present it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a possibility that I may offer that on the site. A pretty good chance, but I'm doing everything, up to that at the moment on the site. So, that's a good question, and I probably would put it in some of the scenes if it were presented in the right way. Mm-hmm. It's all about presentation, and it all ties back into persona, like Nick was talking about earlier, about the formula of the website. You don't really want to step outside the boundary of your own persona, of your own business model. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
I had this discussion with someone on a bondage set I was doing. I've had this discussion many times where oftentimes when I'm doing a bondage movie and I'm dominating a girl, I might have the urge to lick her pussy. And the director's cut and said, you know, that's a submissive act. Licking a girl's pussy is a submissive act. And I said, that's bullshit. I'm the top. I'm in control. I decide what is submissive and what's dominant. I could have her sit on my face, but as long as I'm telling her to sit on my face, it's what I want, and therefore I'm in control. I mean, when you think about putting yourself in that dominant goddess-like position, if you were to have sex with a man on camera, that doesn't take away your control or your position of authority.
No, I agree.
In the right fashion,
you can have a man
bend you over and fuck the living shit out of you, and still do it in a submissive way.
Well, also too, Nick, it's all about, you know, like I said, how I present it, and I make the rules. I mean, I am, you know, the goddess of fetish. I make the rules. If I want to bang somebody, I'll do it. You know, it's just, hey, maybe I want to take advantage of my slave. You know, just like, you know, you were saying about, you know, pleasuring the girl, you know, orally. I mean, and that can all be presented in a dominant way, and I totally agree with that.
What about personally, Amber? What do you like? I mean, do you ever? I mean, you seem to have this dominant persona, but if you're dating a guy, I mean, do you like to be submissive to him?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm kind of a little bit of both, and like I said, I do like you know, pretty strong, athletic men and well endowed men, of course. I enjoy being dominated from time to time. You know, it's really cool. But I like the exchange of power. I think that's the real true beauty about life, is the fact that, you know, you don't get stuck in a rut. And I like both. I like being top and bottom. I think it's a wonderful thing to exchange power. So
I couldn't help but notice,
I would say,
when you were talking about you know your kind of personal life, you like an athletic man, you like an endowed man. I hate to keep harping on that. I have a theory that
oh boy, here we go.
The gentleman that probably do sessions with you
about the donkey. This ought to be good. I hope to hear this.
What's your theory, Nick?
Well, it's a theory I've noticed in my life, and I'm sure she probably has as well. When she meets a gentleman, regardless, let's strip away everything he looks like, okay? I don't care if he's heavy. I don't care if he's in shape. I don't care if he's older or younger. Take all that away, and we're just going to talk about a man's dick. I can tell you right now, you can tell exactly what a man's personality is going to be like, the confidence he's going to have based on the size of his dick. I promise you that most of her clients, or most people who like to be submissive, tend to have smaller dicks. Guys who have bigger dicks tend to have a more dominant personality.
You know, Nick, the thing in life is you can never make such broad, sweeping generalizations, and that's absolutely, my experience would indicate otherwise, because really, it's not about, persona and character development comes from years of experience, and I would really beg to differ on your theory. My theory is, if you want to hear my theory, now that we're just throwing things out there, I think that the most sophisticated men in the world are men that realize both their, you know, submissive side and their, you know, manly dominant side. Dominant side. So I think that men that can appreciate women in a submissive manner, and I'm not just saying taking it up the rear, you know, with the strap on, like Dave said earlier. I'm not talking about that, but men that really truly can, you know, step back and, you know, understand women and very, I would say, you know, appreciative way, worshiping way. It doesn't have to be like, you know, constantly ass-kissing and that kind of thing. But, I mean, a man that really understands a woman. Yes. But testosterone is not cool for men because they tend to, you know, overreact to some situations, and they sometimes aren't in touch with their own, you know, submissive or feminine side. And I don't mean, you know, dress up and heels and lipstick, like I said, but truly, truly a feminine side, or, you know, trying to understand a woman's perspective.
So it's a balance, you're saying.
Exactly.
The man's got to have both, otherwise they're maladjusted, usually.
Right, generally, yeah. That's my experience.
Makes
and I've
sense.
Been around a lot of athletes, I've been around a lot of bodybuilders, I've been around a lot of submissive men, and I just think that it's has nothing to do with penis size or whatever, education, money, it has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about inner balance.
Interesting.
Because
I agree. And, you know, as I was going to say, in the bondage community, it's often said the best tops, the best dominants, were once submissive, were once bottom.
Exactly.
So I completely agree with you on the point that a balance is a good thing, because I know I definitely enjoy both sides of that coin. My point I was trying to make is I think there's a direct correlation between a man's confidence. confident in the size of his dick, because I know some very good-looking gentlemen with tiny dicks who you would think would be confident. You put clothes on them, you'd think they'd be confident. But you strip them of their clothes, and you see that little bitty dick, and you're like, dude, grow a pair, because you're acting like a bitch. But you see the exact opposite. A man that doesn't take care of himself but happens to be hung like a horse always has this air of confidence about him. And it's not that it's warranted. I think it's just that that's the way men are wired.
I mean, we could argue this all day long, but I mean, and there's arguments on both sides. In general, I don't think it really matters. I think it's all about inner strength and persona and character development. That's really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to.
I'm going to give you my conclusion. My conclusion is that you're both right, and because there's so many wacky combinations of what people like, don't like, want, desire, that everyone's right. And that's why I think all these niche little websites do make money in our industry, and why everyone's, you know, feeding off of the, so to speak, porn coffer that's out there, specifically on the internet. And you know, Amber, I think you got a great business model here. You obviously found a niche for yourself that's making you a lot of money. And we appreciate that you actually took the time to come on Sex and Muscle Radio tonight and give us a little insight into your universe. Now,
you're welcome, and it's a lot of fun. You know, at the end of the day, it's about having fun and respecting, you know, the person on the other end, the fan, the client, the victim. You know, it's all about that. And like Nick said earlier, it's about being a good a mistress or a good dom, which you know is kind of what I've evolved into. Is about respecting the person on the other side in that fantasy. It's about taking that all in.
Right.
And like you said, that's the beauty of the website, is the fact that it delves into a broad range of fantasies.
Before we let you go, give us the website address one more time.
Okay, it's goddessoffetish.com.
And what if people want to contact you directly? Do you have an email, or is it through the website?
They can actually, there's a form on the website, and they can contact me that way. They can also submit a fantasy on the website. They can submit, there's also going to be a model page. I have a great team I'm working with right now that I'm actually going to revamp the site. In about one more month, it'll be complete. And it's up now and running, of course. It's got great content at the moment, but it's about probably 60% of where I want it to be. So it's always been a work in progress.
It's evolving with the universe. And maybe we'll get Nick and John Romano to submit a fantasy, and maybe you'll pick them out.
Only if they agree to participate.
Of course. It wouldn't be any other way.
I know. Problem for me.
Now, thanks for stopping by, Amber, and I think we got a great interview with you. So.
Great. Thanks for your time. Take All care, right. TJ and Dave.
All right, TJ. What did you think? I'm addressing you as TJ now, because you've slipped into that character as the interviewer.
Well, I had to, because she kind of knew me as Nick and TJ. But she's a very well-spoken woman. Definitely has that kind of air of confidence. I even noticed in her interview, she actually referred to herself in third person. Goddess a few times.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That's a pet peeve of mine, man.
I hate that too. Sometimes Colette calls herself Colette, and I hate that too. It drives me crazy.
If I were submitting to her in like a real life situation, and she called herself she called herself Goddess in the middle of the session, I'd be like, "What the fuck did you just say?" Seriously,
I you're a schmo, but I don't really think you're a submissive, because you got some very dominant ideas about things.
No. I'm not submissive. I mean, I don't know if that's like the misconception on the show. I am not a submissive.
No, I didn't think so.
I was younger, I was definitely very submissive. As I've grown older, if I ever am submissive, I'm actually being dominant from a submissive position. I've decided ahead of time what I'm going to do, what I'm going to get into, what I'm going to allow to be done to me. So it's called topping from the bottom.
I picked that up a bit, definitely. You and I are kind of similar in that sense. We like to be in control of what we're doing.
It's hard to be us, Dave. I mean, guys, good physiques, very well known, big dicks. I mean... Just throw that out there for Amber in case he happens to listen to this later.
Let's stop on that great note, big dicks, and see you next week, right?
Yeah, from one big dick to another, buddy. Mahalo.
Gracias for listening to Sex y Muscle Radio. Tune in next week for more sex and more muscle at the same time. Adios, y no me jodan.